You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to this Senior Day preview, this UND preview. It's fantastic to be back in action live in the Bison Report studios. Zach Willis.
I'm back, baby.
And Mr. Quinn Ollo.
Let's go.
This is a first. I think, I'm not going to lie, part of this was birthed by the Benchwarmers episode. I felt like you guys left it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like there were more takes on UND. You're both North Dakota boys. The show, I think, flows a little differently live here in the studio, and that's no disrespect to the threes. They just live all over the country.
Yeah, they're out there chasing their dreams elsewhere.
Absolutely. So, we felt like we needed to give UND the proper treatment here in the Bison Report studios, and also respect to the 12 young men, which I think we kind of have a grasp on, and I guess that can kind of kick off the news portion of the show. I believe it's AC and Bussy.
Yep.
That are the so Strite's coming back.
Yeah.
And I would guess then Gindy's not going to walk again because he did it last year.
Yeah, I don't know what Gindy's capacity. I know he's been around the team. I don't know what his capacity is that he would walk like as part of the football team.
Right.
Did it last year.
Right. So he's already been a part of that ceremony. So then we kind of have the 12 figured out, and it's the 10 guys that we talked about on last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think specifically on the offensive line, and in the wide receiver room with Mathis. Kobe is a big deal when they, you're going to lose Lipke. I think it's a really good group to get back for next year's team.
Yeah, especially looking at the O-line, obviously, it's crazy to think that if I wasn't here right now, I'd be walking this weekend, is crazy to think about that. But you lose Nash and you lose Cody. Those are two huge pieces, but, I mean, you have three guys to build around that are pretty solid pieces looking into next year. So, obviously, like you said, it hurts to – especially Bussy. It feels like, especially this year, because he didn't really get to show what he can do because of his injuries that kind of plagued him. But you look at the group that's coming back next year, and I'm excited to see the depth that was built this year get to show in a more experienced level.
I imagine Bussy's going to try to play somewhere else.
I would guess.
Extra graduate year, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like he doesn't want to be done with football. He's just looking at the roster that's coming back, and it's like, well, there are two guys younger than him that are getting more reps than he is currently.
Barica's coming.
And TK. Yeah.
Yep.
So I imagine he just wants to try to go play somewhere else, which good for him. And he's stuck it out the rest of the year and doing his part as much as he can. And the one I was excited about was Mathis. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he would try to come back again. But I think that's a good thing for that receiver room.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna be so deep next year. It's down.
Yeah, and you look at Zach said, you look left to right at the O line. You look at what the possibilities are for it being next year with where we assume Jalen, Kubis, Westy, Gray, Mason.
Yeah, and whatever order you can figure them in.
Yeah, I mean you can put them anywhere, but as long as it's those five, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
absolutely. Cody Mock honored in Hankinson. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Good to see for the boy.
The only thing I was disappointed was that they didn't make, like, red long wigs for everyone to wear in the crowds like they did for Jared Allen with the mullet.
Yeah, no, it's it seems like every year we kind of have one of these small town North Dakota stories, and it always just makes me smile because, like, Hankinson and that whole community is rallied around him, obviously, and his family makes up like 50% of the population. There's so many Mauks down there, so
yeah,
just get to see him and, like, send him out through his high school.
And it's pretty cool, honestly, to see. Too, like, in the honor, in the spirit of even this week, I think I saw the like notice about this thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we don't care who you cheer for. Don't wear UND crap to this thing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care. This is about Cody. This is about a Hankinson Pirate crap. We don't want it.
Yeah.
We're not about that.
Yeah, which is also cool. I mean, I'm not, and I'm sure we'll get into this discussion later, I'm not like a cheer for North Dakota thing.
Right, no.
But if we had like an all-star that went to UND from West Fargo High that was going to go in the first or second round, I'd probably show up and support. So it's just
wear black. No.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Big Deck shirt. I'm not showing up in UND stuff.
Back when I was like, and especially, I wouldn't compare your experience at West Fargo, maybe even my experience at Oak Grove, but like when I went to Northwood and Quinn, obviously going to Lemoore. That's
where?
I would have been that kid if it was a UND guy to show up in the NDSU.
Yeah.
I'd have been the kid to ask that got asked to go change.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do appreciate that they're just like, okay, this isn't about the rivalry. This is about our Cody, our Mouch.
Our Cody.
Yeah. Cody.
It's crazy to see, like, sometimes I, like, forget just what Cody used to be. Because, like, I played against Cody my whole life in football, him and his brother Carter.
Yeah.
I still remember, you know, my senior year when I was 800 pounds blocking, you know, 6'5", probably soaking wet, 210-pound Cody Mauch.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing number 3 as, like, a star star tight end, yeah, in 9-man. But that just shows you the amount of hard work he's put in the last 6 or 7 years to get to where he's at, and it's really cool. That was a really cool thing to see the other day.
Your boy, Mr. Jensen, going to the NFLPA Bowl.
Yeah, super hyped for Nash. And obviously, one, it was kind of a wait and see to see who gets those invites as the seasons start to wind down.
Yep.
But NFLPA is the thing that works out. That's the first one of the cycle. So you could get invited to further combines and further showcases as you go along. So great way to get his foot in the door, whether that's where he stays and he just gets to ball out. I'm super proud of Nash. I don't think anybody could really grasp, unless you know him personally, what he's been through. So this is a great opportunity, and I'm happy that his hard work is showing off for him.
Any, what are we hopeful for some of the rest of the guys? I think both Tut and Weber in different ways. Well, I don't know if Michael wants to just go into coaching or do, you know, the next step of his life, but Dawson has always intrigued me just as a size speed candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, NDSU's pro day is so late. Obviously, all the pro days are after the All-Star games. I don't know if he could, you know, wiggle his way into something like that. Anybody else kind of on All-Star game watch or make a camp watch, get a tryout watch? Anybody else to come to mind?
Is Tamarick walking, or is he like a senior this year?
Yeah, you would think so.
He might, like, especially with Hunter being hurt, if he puts together like a huge playoff run towards the end of the year, just with his size, like, obviously he was highly recruited, went to SMU. I feel like he would be one that probably get looks towards the end of the year.
And that's, there should be a bell when I act like a bigger deal than I am. But I actually did have some people from the All-Star games reach out, and Tamarick is a name that I gave.
Makes sense, just because with his size and speed, like, it's kind of a rare mixture between the two. And like I said, if he's an integral part of a big playoff run for NDSU, I imagine, obviously, like, the deeper we go, the more eyes are on those games.
And it's crazy how, like, I think more than any other position, those 6th, 7th, even priority free agent undrafted guys, they make a difference at tailback. I mean, look at James Robinson. Look at the career that he's made for himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, and obviously, just at getting a shot, like I said, getting your foot in the door, running back is one of the deeper positions as far as how many roster spots the NFL team fills up, whether that's on the practice squad or on the active roster. Just to get a camp shot, they have a lot of guys in there. I know that's what Bruce did. Bruce Anderson, he kind of got his shot and then kind of hung around for 4 or 5 years in different active rosters in the NFL and different practice squads. So I think Tomerik is definitely a good call.
For sure. The vibes around the Hunter injury continue to just not be great. Didn't love seeing him in a sling. Didn't love the word second opinion from Coach Entz.
I don't know if second opinions have ever been. Like, have you ever seen like a pro or collegiate guy that went and that goes and gets a second opinion and they're like, oh no, you're actually completely healthy. That other guy was like, that other guy or lady was just completely lying to you. Like, no, nothing's wrong.
Yeah. I guess my thing here is just hopeful for the kid. You know, I know he wants to leave everything on the field at North Dakota State. There's no question about it. We're still here on November 17th, a good 7 weeks from Frisco.
Yeah.
But man, that might be it, you know. And the big thing is I think the Senior Bowl is the week after Frisco,
right?
So you're hopeful that the young man, you know, doesn't lose that chance to showcase his talents. He's going to get drafted either way. Mm-hmm. Tape is on and I think as long as he can get healthy before the combine or at least before NDSU's pro day, I think he's going to be a combine invitee because I think he's a top 150, top 180 guy.
Yeah.
That's just where and that's not my opinion. That's kind of what I've heard. So, but obviously, like, tremendously important to just get the kid healthy and have what's at his best interest at heart.
Yeah. Obviously, there's, like you said, 7 weeks, but there's, if you're in Frisco, there's weeks, at least two, where you're not playing football or don't have the opportunity to not play football, right, as far as a rest, right, period, looking at Thanksgiving and then that Christmas break before Frisco. I think this doesn't change Hunter's legacy in my mind as far as an NDSU player at all. I think what we saw last year in that run in the playoffs and then the national championship and then how he started this year, you know, being a fullback that carries the football, getting talked about as a Walter Payton Award watch list guy is pretty unbelievable. So, like you said, I think he's going to have his shot at the next level anyway. But Senior Bowl is something you want to cross off on your list as far as football dreams. So I hope he gets healthy enough to have that opportunity.
For sure. North Dakota State has opened as a 13.5-point favorite over UND. On Five Dimes, we will discuss that. Or do you have a take?
Lock it in. Double it. Don't they do, like, can you do that if you're in a...
Oh, yeah. There's just double alternate it. Take, spreads. Yeah. You absolutely can start adding points.
Do not listen to this episode for betting advice. Goodness.
Is this where you say if you live in Tennessee, call 1-800-RED-LINE? Yeah. If you live here, call 1-800-GAMBLER?
Yeah.
Folks, sports betting is still illegal in the state of North Dakota outside of the casino in Hankinson. Boo. So... Oh, goodness. Baseball released their schedule. There's some sweet road trips if anybody wants to... check that out.
Some of that stuff makes me wish I was a better track athlete or a better baseball player because, like, they get to go on some sweet road trips.
They do.
I used to get so pissed off when we were playing that, like, I would see these, like, no offense to the track people, like, especially the throwers because they could all beat us up. But they would go there for, like, 2 weeks, and the meet would be 3 days. So, like, most of their stories on, like, Instagram and Snapchat is just them on the beach. Yeah. And it's like we go to, not that I want to spend more time. Where is, like, Northern
that
Iowa play?
That all was all Americans.
The Otter Dolls.
Yeah.
You know? One of them's still there. He could pick me up.
They have like Olympic flyer miles.
The Thor kid, Peyton, he'd twist you in a pretzel.
Yeah.
No, I think the youngest one the other day, because I still occasionally go to the NDSU Throws lifting page on Instagram.
Okay.
Because it's like wild. I can't remember how much weight he had on his shoulders. He was on a squat bar, and I was like, oh, this is a crazy squat. He just pressed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing? Like, that's not a human. But
it would be kind of sick to be a thrower, because obviously they have whatever. Don't scrutinize me because of this. But they just meathead out in the weight room and then fly to California for 2 weeks. And that seems
so
super
cool.
Sick.
It's
cardio,
so cool.
Non-existent.
Yeah,
does
no.
not matter.
Yeah. Cardio is
they
walking
probably
up the stairs.
It,
it'd be like if long drive competition was an NCAA sport.
Right. Yeah. You just, like, inject the TRT and...
Like, I don't have to grind short game. I just need to hit bombs.
Yeah, we're sitting with the golf guy. What are we talking about? Yeah,
that's true.
Hey, I had to walk 18 holes. Excuse me. 36 holes, then 18 holes the next day. With 50 pounds on my back, and that's about 14 miles.
In Arizona, in the dead of winter?
Bro, I was in Let the Mayak. Where do you think I was getting a 15-passenger van going to St. Cloud in the middle of winter.
I'll grab my tiny violin right here.
Oh, boy.
We had to take a bus to Brookings.
Yeah. There's no good segue for this, so I'm just going to dive in. Folks, check out Tundra Insurance on the main drag in Horace. Visit Quinn. Don't talk to me. Visit Quinn. We've got 20 different carriers. Don't shop around. Shopping around takes time, takes your time. Let us do the shopping. It's way easier on you. We're going to fit your needs, whether it's business needs, whether it's home, auto, life, whatever it is. Let us do the shopping for you. One-stop shop. Zach, you're a client. How great
Absolutely.
Are we?
Absolutely. Well, Quinn's great. You get a discount if you call him Matagi, apparently. Oh, so just come in and start screaming that.
There is no discount code with Matagi.
No discount.
You will find nothing at tundrainsurance.com/Matagi. There is no promo code included.
The desperation in the there is no discount. This is the best ad read ever. Oh my
God. There's an increase in price.
Tundrainsurance.com, Tundra Insurance on Facebook, Tundra Insurance on Twitter, 701-969-1661, or literally walk through the door. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Another rough one for North Dakota State men's basketball in Indiana, in Terre Haute, Indiana, taking on the Sycamores of Indiana State, a team that they were able to defeat by 7 at home just a season ago. Once again, really, really struggling defensively. Lost the first half 49-26, and then scored 49 of their own in the second half, but were unable to keep Indiana State in double digits. So for the second consecutive mid-major game, NDSU has given up over 90 points. Indiana State gets to 101. Kravassier McCauley with 30. Closed the first half on a 15-2 run after a little bit of a push from the Bison, and they were never, you know, seriously involved for the rest of the game. It's tough. They're 0-4. Bumps in the road with this young team. The bright side is that they're scoring. They do have offensive ability. Lance Waddles with 13, Morgs with 13. That's a true freshman and a true sophomore. And then your top player of the night is Tejavis Miller, who I think is really kind of putting himself in the conversation of being, you know, the future of NDSU basketball. He had 20 and moved his way into the starting lineup. Tejavis, you know, the highest recruited or the highest ranked recruit in the history of North Dakota State men's basketball. That's a big deal. I think he's showing the type of player that he could be. He was efficient, added a rebound and a block. He's going to be the starting two guard, I think, for 4 years. It's going to be hard to get around that. And the optimistic way of looking at it, if you want to look at it optimistically, is that these guys can score. And by hook or by crook, David Richmond is going to teach them how to play defense. They might practice for the next 2 weeks without a basketball at practice. They're going to have to learn to defend, or he's just going to lose his mind. So you got to hope these type of kids can play defense, and I think they can. I mean, Grant Nelson, obviously being long and athletic, terrible game, really, really rough game for Grant at Indiana State. That was tough. 4 points, 5 turnovers, 5 rebounds, played just 16 minutes. Not great for Grant. Another decent showing, though, from Sam Hostreiter, looking to provide a little bit of depth at the four position there. These young kids are going to be fun. And, you know, I think the hope, if you're North Dakota State men's basketball season for this year, is that they're going to be fun this February and not, you know, next December when they get a year under their belts. But great to watch, you know, great to see Tejavis play that way. They have to play defense. They got to defend. They just have to defend. The Indiana State shooting 49% for the game, 36% from three. Can't happen. You can't have 15 turnovers, can't only turn the other team over 3 times. Can't happen. And they'll take on Crown College on Sunday. Probably the first win in the left-hand column there for North Dakota State, but just not a great vibe. Not a great vibe from NDSU men's basketball right now, and I'm sure the guys are frustrated. I'm sure Coach Ridgeman is frustrated, but they're young. They're going to learn, and frankly, we've been through this before. You know, very few NDSU men's basketball teams play very well under Richman in November and in December, and they get better and better every year until March when they're playing on Tuesday night. And I don't know if I'm wavering from the idea that they'll be playing on Tuesday night in Sioux Falls, but it does seem like it might be a taller hill to climb than a couple of the last 2 years. But we'll see. I mean, it's the way that it's always been. They start out a little clunky and go on the way. And hey, you know, make no mistake, this Pacific team that they lost to at home blew out UND by 30 after beating the Bison by 4. Indiana State's undefeated. Arkansas and Kansas are undefeated. This was a heck of a schedule that Coach Richman put together for these guys. And that's, you know, their motto is bring on the competition. They've lost to some really good teams. And 0-4, especially you get beat by 26, none of it's good, but they've lost to some really good teams. One squad that did not lose, though, we want to, you know, not a team that we cover a ton, but watch the last 5 minutes of the NDSU-Minnesota game with my family that was in the Shack last night. So cool. So very cool for Jory Collins to get a win over a Big Ten team at home. So much fun to watch. They've got an interesting brand of basketball, man. I mean, Heaven Hamling is obviously the straw that stirs the drink. I don't think there's ever really any question about that. But there are some fun players. And I think, you know, a lot of folks probably saw the departure of Ryan Cobbins and maybe felt like, oh, man, this is, you know, this isn't good. The shine on Jory is falling off a little bit. I don't know. 16 from transfer Emily Brown. Emily Banky really coming into her own with 14-8 last night. This is a fun brand of basketball to watch. It's a very, very fun brand of basketball to watch. And I tell you what, shout out to L. Evans, freshman guard, with 37 minutes last night. That's really impressive. The Bison Report Radio podcast is brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. Gateway Chevrolet has a fantastic inventory of new Silverados. The Silverados are coming with 4 different engine options. I myself am rocking the 5.3-liter V8 with the adaptive fuel management, giving me power when I need it and excellent fuel economy when I do not. Those new ones, though, they have beautiful new interiors with larger touchscreens, Bluetooth, Apple CarPlay, backup camera, everything you could ever need, all the creature comforts. Check them out at gatewayfargo.com or right on the I-29 frontage road. UND.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing nice to say. I'm just going to lay that out
there. I almost threw up into the mic. Which the throw up matches the shade of green.
And I love it, the fact that it's you two, because you both got offered more money to play at UND and chose to take
I was 2 hours away from being a Fighting Hawk.
And what a different life that would have been.
Oh, my God.
You might be a doctor.
I would have been way worse.
You could have been a doctor.
Nobody would like me. They only like me because I came here.
You might be an airplane pilot.
I should not be trusted with that occupation.
They would have to be responsible for all those deaths.
No, yeah, it's actually troublesome because I was going to go be a physical therapist at UND, and I just, like, can you imagine me helping you after surgery?
No, I wouldn't want to see you at all.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk better?
Like, yeah, figure it out.
It's not helpful.
Rub dirt on it.
I think last year, because the game was in Grand Forks, we did most of the running down of Grand Forks that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
This game's in Fargo.
Yeah, I mean, those people live in Grand Forks, so they don't need to hear any more from us.
they understand that. Do you feel like, I'll direct this one to you, Quinn. Do you feel like, obviously we hate them, but do you feel like it's catching up at all? Not necessarily to the South Dakota State thing, but like Cordell will talk about the fact that they haven't been very competitive. It's not a rivalry until someone else wins, et cetera, et cetera. And there were 6 years, I think, of them just not being around, just not being a part of things. And, I mean, technically, if you talk about it from when NDSU left, it's 11 years from their first Division I game to the 2015 one you know, to the 2015 matchup in Fargo. So there's just lost time. But as my blood boils, I listen to the Cordell thing. You guys are all 6 years younger than me, 7 years younger than me, 8, 9.
13.
Shut up. But you could start to feel some of the animosity. Do you feel like it's catching up?
The animosity is just from, like, fans and fans. It's not from players and players. They have, for that, for the animosity to, like, make it to the field, they have to make, like, a UND at NDSU game remotely competitive.
Like, but last year's
UND at NDSU.
Okay, they
can't keep coming here and lose by 30 points and then us go up there and win by 8. And then they're like, oh, it's getting closer. It's like, yeah. No, it's not. Because, like, you're still losing by 30 points every time you come here. It's like there have been times, like, because we call UNI a rivalry.
Yeah.
Because we've had to, past teams have had to beat UNI at NDSU
on the,
like,
last
a last second drive.
Yeah.
Last plays of the game.
Yeah.
Like, same with Illinois State. I mean, that 9-3 game, I we talk about all the time. Like, that was one of the craziest, like grind out games NDSU has had.
Yeah.
Like 9-3 in the quarterfinals of the playoffs. Obviously, SDSU, that was in 2014 too, right? The last play of the game. Was it RJ? Was that the 2014 game?
Yeah.
Or am I wrong here? But you get my point. Like,
yeah.
for like someone to be like competitive against NDSU, I feel like they have to make an NDSU home game competitive. Like, it can't just be a blowout.
And that's something where
it has been since 2015.
Oh yeah.
2015 and 2019 were like the same scores, I think, the 35-7. And then in the spring season,
that was crazy.
Yeah, and then in the spring season, same thing. I mean, it was Hunter's first game back during that 2021 spring season, and this he would like rocky start, whatever, and Hunter came back, and I think it was like 40.
The Bison were like 1-point favorites. That was crazy.
Because well, UND, it was their first season in the Valley.
Yeah.
And I think they were like the second, I think they were
third or fourth ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which yeah, is, I don't know. And we had just gotten, I'm using the pejorative we now, but yeah, you guys got run in Southern Illinois in Carbondale. That, I mean, that had just happened. People were writing your eulogy around here, and there were columns about how this is the way the tide has turned, and
which makes that loss by them even worse. Like,
oh,
it was the worst NDSU loss probably in like a decade, and then they're coming off of that at home. You're the second rated team in the country, like, make it a competitive game. And it just wasn't.
No, and that was the craziest thing, was just like, they're going to lose. You know, people were writing, these guys are going to lose to UND at home by 10 or 14.
Yeah. I think.
False.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even. I think my biggest issue, like Quinn touched on, is the fans and the way they move the goalposts and the argument. Like, when you debunk everything, they talk about football, so they go to hockey or whatever else. And I dropped it on Benchwarmers. They're like, you want to run the farm, go to NDSU. You want to own the farm, go to UND.
Nobody that owns the farm goes to UND.
And it just, it like makes my blood boil, because it's such a dumb, like,
nobody why am I that even owns arguing? The farm goes to UND.
Why am I even arguing with you?
Yeah.
But something, I think, in a comparison, and it's funny you actually talk about you and I, because I remember the Pat Paschal, LJ Fort fight, and that, like, basically sparked how we actually hate you and I.
Defensive line coach tried to fight Cordell.
That's could have been a good start if an actual fight broke out at the Alera Center.
You know what the funniest thing about that was? You saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, and I'm not disrespecting anybody, because I will say this, and it almost pains me to say it, they're great. They're The sports information people, when I've gone up there for football or men's basketball, could not possibly be more helpful. Mm-hmm. Put us in decent spots, whatever. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
That is about where it stops. But I mean, they're great. So you and I are on that. They had like curtained off part of the, because it's NDSU UND. They're not getting that much press usually.
Right.
You know, they're not having to create extra space. First UND NDSU game in Grand Forks in 15 years, whatever it was. And
it became our private viewing booth. It was just us up there.
Because nobody else with a credential for that area showed up.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, Cordell's going to fight a coach. Cordell's going to fight a coach. Like, Gray's holding him back. And I'm just looking at, like, what on God's green earth is going on?
You're right. Now that I think about it through that lens, that would have been the perfect spark to a rivalry starting again.
Yes.
I think it's,
it also would have been a perfect start to a 4-game suspension for Cordell.
Cordell would fight whoever at the office commissioner at the Missouri Valley. Who gave me the suspension? Yeah, I think it just won, like, Quinn said, there just needs to be a feeling of competitiveness in the game, especially at the Fargo Dome. I hadn't really thought about it through that lens. Goodness. But I think even we talked about this in the group chat, which would be a nightmare, would be playing them twice in a row going into the playoffs. I think a playoff game would be a spark to something like that again, too.
And I'm interested to know, because I said this and I can't remember where I heard it, but that it can't happen.
Yeah.
That they won't put the 2-1 bracket for someone that you played in the last
season. I'm telling you right now, UND does not want to see NDSU in the playoffs ever.
No.
It's one thing. Like, NDSU is now, you know, since 2015 or whatever, lost to SDSU multiple times. Go look at what happens to SDSU when they play us in the playoffs after beating us in the regular season.
Yeah, it's not great.
Like, you want to talk about, like, added motivation. Like, it's one thing to lose in the regular season. You don't want to face NDSU, like, when it's lose or go home. Because very rarely does NDSU go home.
Yeah. Right, and yeah, you don't when NDSU will empty the entire chamber.
Right.
It's tough. Very. It is tough. This is a crazy stat that I looked up. Shout out to the SID folks at NDSU, because all I had to look at was this week's game notes and the game notes for the last men's basketball team. But that's our thing at Bison Report, that we've been charged with by 24/7 Sports is men's basketball and football. And I don't think there's any question. Certainly, obviously, UND having hockey, but at North Dakota State, those are the two premier programs from an attendance standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a interest standpoint. Since both schools have been Division I, North Dakota State, this will be the 25th meeting. North Dakota State has a chance to go 19-6.
That's what I'm talking about. So we need a little competitiveness for this thing to. It feels bigger than that.
It does. Margin. It feels.
I think it's because obviously I'm a football head too, and like. So I'm right. And I'm getting more into basketball. I think it's now that I can actually watch it in the winter without like being dog tired from Kramer's workouts. I'm like, oh, basketball is actually fun to watch. I see why people like this.
Yeah.
It's great when we beat them and I celebrate that. We could beat them in water polo and I would celebrate it. But I just like, especially the football edge, like it feels way bigger than that. But 19-6 is a crazy stat.
Well, and I tell you what, man, and Vinny and Tyson laugh every time I bring this up, but that Summit League championship game against them to go to the dance the year that they played Duke, when they beat them by like 40 in a tournament championship game. That was insane. I want to touch on some stuff here from, I guess, the podcast. Cause you guys discussed the nickname situation and I agree. Like Fighting Hawks is not great. The logo was really bad, whatever. Here's my issue. And I say this as one of the whitest men I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get called woke or I don't know what I'm going to get called all sorts of things for saying this.
You can turn it sideways if you're on here calling us woke or something.
Sure. But like, if you're a white guy, like you just, your opinion does not matter on this.
Yeah. Especially on that.
And hey, there are situations where it works. Florida State has a phenomenal relationship with Seminole Nation.
Right.
The Seminole tribe loves having Florida State be the Seminoles.
Yeah.
There are other universities that have that relationship, and that's fine. That's great. I have no issue with that. The Cleveland baseball team, the Washington professional football team,
yeah,
University of North Dakota, when you get asked to change it, you just change it.
Right. And like, I think the Guardians now, theirs was very flagrant, especially in like the Chief Wahoo designation of it. Right. Like
the name wasn't super flagrant, but the mascot was egregious.
But like the Washington football team was like straight up a racial slur to like have it. And so people, I think it's an apples to oranges conversation when they talk about UND and then compare them to those. But it's also those oranges are spoiled, and the tribe said, we don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Right.
Johnny from wherever doesn't get to
and
be
by
like,
the way,
who are they to say it's offensive?
Yeah, and they are them,
right.
The people you're talking about, especially the ex-hockey players. Most ex-hockey players are stupid. These ones are particularly stupid. Like Fighting Sioux for – no, it's not. They decided it's not. You're the Fighting Hawks.
It is most certainly not forever, because right now you are the Fighting Hawks.
You know what's like the most interesting thing about it? What's their hockey arena called? The Is it the Betty or the Ralph?
Ralph is the hockey arena.
Oh, I thought the hockey arena was the Betty. I'm trying to make people mad here.
Great attempt.
The Ralph, they still have all of the logos in stone, right?
Yeah.
Is that something that they can, they can't, can they touch that?
I'm pretty sure Ralph said, if you dare do that, I will burn this place to the ground.
Makes sense. I mean,
Ralph also not a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, look up how Ralph Engelstad made his fortune.
Look up some of Ralph Engelstad's political interests.
Jesus.
We come into this room with Ross and he turns into a bench warmer.
Yeah, let's turn into a bench warmer's pod.
Let's go. I guess I don't have a problem more with, like, sometimes, like, so the hockey players, I kind of understand. Not really, but, like, I don't, like they can, like, have their jerseys at home still. You know, they can, like, wear the sweatshirts if they want, yada, yada, yada. But, like, my biggest problem when I said on bench warmers was, like, the year they made the name change, they won the national championship in hockey.
Which is their, like, only one in, like, the last 25 years.
Yeah, it was, like, the perfect time to, like, embrace this new name that sucks. Like...
And they blew it.
Yeah, and they blew it because, like, they could have tried their hardest to, like, make it. Would have never been cool because, like I said, the name stinks.
It's also because it's them.
Yeah,
nothing's so, like, cool.
Nothing they could have. They
could have been the UND Chargers, and I would have been like, "That's the lamest name I've ever heard."
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. The names that they decided to vote on—that was, like, one of the worst sets of names I've ever heard. But just before you go. Yeah. I don't even know where I was going, so I'm just going to, like, finish this, like, little rant. I kind of get former players being upset about it, but, like, if you're just a normal fan and, like, you are, like you said, the only people that were complaining about it were, like, old white people.
Right. And by the way, a young, excellent hockey player who is also a white from St. Paul, Minnesota, that came up here to play.
Yeah.
I also don't care what he has to, honestly, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, it's like, then, dude, you just won the national championship. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, make this as cool as it can be, even though it can never be cool.
It's just like, do you want to support the team that the team didn't change?
Yeah.
The name of your team changed. So are you supporting it because it pisses people off, which is what it is? It's not because you have a pride or a heritage in that they were the Fighting Sioux. It's that you are, like, pushing against that anybody did it.
Also, right. Also, like, the athletic department or the university, whoever was part of that, like, decision-making process to get a new name, I think they thought they were doing, like, everyone a favor by keeping fighting in there.
Yeah.
Made it worse.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna name change, like, completely get rid of, like, whatever you were associated with it before. Because then, like...
But UND Hawks would be terrible.
I mean, it's Hawks still not is good bad. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I know.
The Atlanta Hawks is bad. Like, Hawks is just so... Like, Hawks is just so, like, boring and plain that, like, they needed to come up with something new.
Especially when the football team is the Falcons. That's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's true.
There's so many cool opportunities to, like, pay homage to North Dakota. And, like, even their other options that they tried to do stunk.
I have, like I said, I have two bad takes. Mediocre. I didn't hate Rough Riders. And
yeah, but it's the high school.
I know
that's
the high
only
school,
problem.
And
it is the only problem.
The funny, so just random example. In Iowa City, our dog, Jared Taylor, played for the Little Hawks. The college is the Hawkeyes, and the high school is the Little Hawks. Now, I don't know if you're going to make Grand
Forks Red. I think that stinks too.
But that's fine, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Yeah. And honestly, I think Rough Riders would have been sweet if Grand Forks Red River was just something different.
Yeah.
They could have big brothered them. They could have just been Rough Riders, and then they go, like, to the school and be like, change now.
Yeah. You're the Titans now.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I mean, because, like, high school teams, it really doesn't matter. Cause in my opinion, like, I like that Lemoore's the Lobos. I think it's sweet. But if they ever had to change it, I'd be like, it's the high school team. I don't know.
I was a Northwood Trojan right until I was a Hatton Northwood Thunder. Like,
right. They change them all the time.
Oh, yeah, with the co-oping and stuff, absolutely. Yeah. You lose the Finley Sharon Raiders had to become the Finley Sharon Hope Page Spartans. Like, that kind of stuff.
Now that's different because now Finley Sharon's, like, with Mayville or something.
This,
like,
is too much nine-man. I'm sorry. I'm over it. I drive through these towns to get to big towns.
Hey, but shut up. Hey, but those big towns, their football conferences, frauds. The fact that you guys had Bismarck Century, a 5-7 team in the state championship last week.
Save it.
Terrible.
Save it.
We're
nice job, Packers. There's seven teams in that whole like, state tournament. It's gross.
I plead the fifth on this conversation.
Okay. I want my flowers.
About what?
So, there are some UND accounts, and I got flamed last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I courted it a little bit because
you always do.
I think what I call, I know for sure the basketball, what I did. No, whatever. It doesn't matter. I might've tweeted that it was this is the correct All Valley team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I named the post that, but I was like, this is the right one.
Yeah. I remember that.
And I actually went position by position. And this was a hot take because I named Cody the first team left tackle and mm-hmm. I named Cordell the first team right tackle. Mm-hmm. And obviously you had two NFL draft picks, including a first round pick that didn't make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three offensive linemen were not Bison, I don't think, because I loved the two guys from Youngstown. And I can't remember who the fifth guy was, but I don't think it was Nash. Doesn't matter. And I got just roasted by this UND guy because, well, let's go this and, well, let's go that. And
well, let's go to the practice squad for you.
Oh, my God.
Was it Shannon Schweigert? Is that who?
I don't know who it was. Like Effin Hawks Talk or somebody.
This
is not Bubba.
No, it's the at UND Football 360, and it's just like the head coach's brother
anyway,
on it.
So I made mention of like the Mobiles. Jim is going to regret not inviting Cordell.
Yeah.
And I got flamed for that. And this guy didn't even have a let's go on his All Valley team. He, you know, deserves no mind. Mm-hmm. Don't pay attention to this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Then Cordell goes around a full round basically before we'll let's go. Mm-hmm. And I handle that with maturity and decency. I did not. Yeah. I did not handle that with decency or maturity.
You receded me the other day. Like, I know you would keep this stuff just loaded.
That's why Twitter has bookmarks, man. Yeah. It makes everything really easy to find. And I just like Thanks, to say, Elon. Like, Cody was then and is now a better player.
Then well, let's go.
And a better college player.
Yeah.
And that's what I care about. Do I care? And by the way, Cody's probably a top 50 pick right now.
Mm-hmm. Which could play into the top 32, depending sure. Mobile. And
so I'm just saying, as a college player, he was better than Penning last year at mm-hmm. left tackle. And I think the five best linemen, maybe well, let's go, was involved. You may not like this, but Penning was one of the best five linemen in the Valley last year.
I don't think that's even debatable.
Okay, fine. Yeah. All right, sweet.
I think you could have that conversation about Cody and Penning. I don't think there's any room where you could have that conversation about Cody and Well, let's go.
Sure. So, but my, like, he is a Walter Payton Award watch player.
Yeah.
I actually think with Hunter dealing with his stuff, Cody is the best player in FCS football.
Sure.
I know a lineman will never be recognized in that way.
Right.
But his level of play right now, what he's doing, I think is even beyond what Cordell was doing last year. Now it's very different things.
Yeah.
But for him to be grading out against the run, and by the way, everything we watch is reflective. I don't know how he's grading for NDSU. I know he's grading for PFF College. You can't pass rush the entire left side of NDSU's offensive line.
Right.
You just can't. And he's a big part of that. And for him to be grading out the way he is as a run blocker, he's an unbelievable football player. And my point is, he was better than Waletzko last year. He is better than Waletzko now. They're both going to get drafted ahead of where Waletzko was. Mm-hmm. So I was right. That was the point of the entire rant.
7 minutes of that for.
I hope everybody enjoyed that. That was really for me. The rest of the show is for the people.
And on to the next point.
but that was for me.
Yeah, but I like it. The whole Waletzko thing was always just kind of puzzling to me because there's potential there, but like potential is the scariest word in the draft, right? Like he's big and can move well, but
the tape wasn't great.
No. And I think Penning's tape was better.
Yeah.
Than Waletzko's obviously, but Cody has been doing this.
Yes.
And yeah. Cordell was one of the best players in the country last year. So I'll hear none of that conversation.
Who was like the 6'10 left tackle from Illinois State a couple years ago?
Himmelman.
That's what Waletzko looks like.
That's Andrew Pierce to you. Tony Pierce's son.
True. And also Cordell started at left guard for the defending AFC champions.
Yeah.
Like The argument was over as soon as the season started, basically.
I think, well, let's go. I'll check. This is great radio. I think he has 2 snaps this year.
Yeah, and I think they were kneel downs.
And by the way, that is a, with the Tyron Smith injury,
mm-hmm.
that's an offensive line that's in relative shambles. That it's not correct. Like.
Well, they're getting older and older.
Like, and they lost Lael Collins.
Yeah.
What's his name? The
homie just retired.
The stud center.
Frederick?
Frederick. Yeah.
He's still playing. Yep. Who's the one that retired? Martin.
Did he retire?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah. But. No, he's playing this year for sure. I don't know if he is like, this is my last year.
So we've got 1 offensive snap for Waletzko and 6 snaps on extra point. Shout out my guy.
I don't know if he'd consent to you calling him your guy.
I don't know what to do.
And it is no fault to Matt's.
No, and honestly, it's everybody a tremendous else. Achievement to make it to the Absolutely. National Football League. It's a tremendous achievement to get invited to the Senior Bowl. He's probably a great kid.
Yeah.
I just made an evaluation that ended up being correct and has been proven out by the National Football League.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
Congrats
enough
for us.
This is enough. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right.
I want to have the 13.5 point conversations. You want to talk about receipts?
Mm-hmm.
There are receipts.
Good.
The responses to Mike McFeely's tweet that NDSU opened as a 13.5 point favorite. Goodness.
I'm going to have to look.
You should.
I'm gonna because do it right now.
Everybody wants the Hawks and the points.
Take have fun being broke.
And Mr. F and Hawks talk. Says it's free money. There's something coming if they cover. There's something coming.
Good.
But let's really talk about that. In 3 Fargo Dome games in Division I, North Dakota State has won those 3 games by 77 points.
Jesus.
And they have never won by fewer than 21.
So, if you're a gambling man, history would tell you that money is on NDSU.
I think I would have a little pause at 14.
Sure.
13.5, I have no pause.
No right. pause.
It's 2 touchdowns.
We're here at Bison Report are not a gambling advice podcast, nor will we partake in any of this absolute nonsense that we are talking about right nope. now.
It's fun to talk about, though.
It is fun to talk about. And that's just that stat that I just read off where you have won 3 football games over another Division I team by a combined 77 points, that is just bonkers sauce.
Yeah, and what have you seen from UND to think that it's going to be more competitive?
Well, I think everybody would just say the fact that they're ranked and the fact that last year's game was by a touchdown.
Yeah, that's a silly thing to. All right, so if that's your logic
ahead,
to bet,
go ahead.
I counted silly. For last year's game. So if you want to count last year's game, the last time 4 times we've played them, we beat them by 21 points.
Exactly.
On average, 21.25.
21.25.
So over 3 touchdowns. So just stop.
I said earlier, I don't have the ability to do this, but I wouldn't bet the house, but I would bet the price of a small used sedan on the Bison.
I think it's fair. I mean, and let's actually get into the football of it.
We haven't talked a lick of this game.
And we are at the 43-minute mark of this podcast, which, by the way, we are going to insert basketball conversation behind this.
People are getting 8 hours of Bison Report content this
that's
week.
That's fine.
You'll get into it, but they're just not built to beat us.
And that's what they're so they're little.
Yeah.
They're little, which
they
is interesting.
Yeah.
They run a 3-4, which I think I haven't done a ton, but just I would guess most of their time is actually in a 2-4-5 would be my guess. But you can't play that against NDSU.
No.
Like I would guess they have 5 DBs on the field.
Please do it.
More often than not to defend whomever.
Right.
But like
then have stand-up backers playing
okay.
edge spots.
Let's get into a little bit of the explanation of how like these defenses work. So mm-hmm. normally in a 3-4, which is something that both UND and NDSU converted to in the early 90s to try and defend the triple option.
Right.
And in this year or in this time's version of a 3-4, you'll hear guys labeled as defensive ends. They really play 5-tech, which is in between the guard and the tackle, and or head up on the tackle. technically, but where you actually see them line up is sometimes 4-eye. This is getting into the weeds. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is these guys are tall defensive tackle body types, yeah. ideally.
Yeah.
In the pros,
they look like...
Think Calais look, Campbell.
Yes.
Guys
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. In the pros, their prototype is 6'5", 300 pounds.
Chris
six
Jones.
6'6", 305 pounds.
Freak shows.
Long freak yeah. shows. The nose is short and fat.
And quick. They play yep. two gaps.
6'1", 330.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark.
Quinn right now.
Jesus.
6'1", let's go. 6'1". I'd be on scholarship if we played a 3-4.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still. We'd be finding extra eligibility for you. We'd call Ross at Tundra Insurance. Nobody's calling Quinn. Quinn's displacing centers.
You'd be sick.
So the point that I'm making there mm-hmm. is the nose is a real nose. I think the kid's 6'2", 290.
Sure.
I don't know if he's any good, mm-hmm. but he's 6'2", 290. He's a real nose. The 5-tech kids is Mac Nabo at 240 and Jalen Johnson at 255.
Yeah, it's insane.
Small.
Like, if NDSU would have played, like, if during our days, if NDSU, like, let's just say they're 3-4, like, our 5-techs would have been, like, Grant Morgan. Like, actually.
Tangway would have been kind of nice at 5-tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have been. Like, and then, like, Shotzi, Steidel, like, more of the stout actual guys would have been bodies. Nosers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, even when we played there...
Maybe you beef up Jerick type, make him a 5-tech. Maybe right. you beef up...
Jerick might be a perfect 5-tech anyway.
Yeah. Or, like what he played at. Right, yeah. but or like Brad Ambrosius.
Right.
Greg would have played linebacker.
Yes.
Brad might have... You give him 30 more pounds, play him at 5.
Yeah, Greg is like that stand-up dude that racks up 20 sacks a season.
Yeah.
At a 3-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even like when we put... Even like the last time I played him in 2019, like their nose was like a former running back, mm-hmm. and they had... Like he was at like 270. Like... If you are a 3-4 defense, the competitive 3-4 defenses that have, like, gave NDSU troubles in the past, like...
Colin Saunders from Western Illinois.
Illinois State when Ridgeway was the nose.
Yeah.
And those two backers that are still playing, mm-hmm. like, those guys were, like, 275, 280, like, and they, like, it's a penetrating defense with big, like, huge players. Yeah. If you're going to be a penetrating defense and your nose is 270 and your DNs are 220, like, good luck against, like, Carson... Cordell and Rado, like yeah. just fine.
And that's the thing is the edges are 2.25 and 220.
Small.
And the backers are whatever. Krasnowski, decent player, good player. But right. like if the nose gets beat at all.
It's over. It's wraps.
Over.
Yeah. I just a prediction based on these numbers and an understanding, a moderate understanding of how football works. It's gonna be a power football.
We're gonna throw the shower on. We're gonna offense. Throw the ball as many times as they did against Western.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I just like.
I hope so.
One when they are that small, they usually are better at moving laterally and stopping, you know, outside run game G stuff like this. But if your nose guard is getting lifted out, like you said, and like Westie's heavier than the Jaylen. Nose at 290s, well, yeah. things like that, like.
Yeah.
It's not like there's any mismatches across this board on the D-line, which historically tells me it leads to success for the Bison.
Some folks are going to get thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
You know where else those folks are going to get thrown around?
That was incredible! That rocked!
That was good.
That rocked!
That was redemption from
Let's
the
go!
That was redemption from earlier.
December 11th, folks, you have to find a way to make it to Tundra Mania right here in Horace. Breaking news, by the way, Below Zero Wrestling announces that it is adding a second championship. This new title will be unveiled on Sunday, December 11th at Tundra Mania. Everything from the name of the title, what it will look like, and who will compete for it will be revealed at the December event. This new title follows in the footsteps of Below Zero Wrestling Championship that debuted at WinterSlam in January 2022. The BZW title was contested in a three-way ladder match between Jack Ledger, Brandon Nitro, and Nick Nelson. Ledger went on to win the match and become the first and so far only Below Zero Wrestling champion. Who will compete for this new championship title? The answer, live December 11th in Horace. Get your tickets today. Zach, who's doing the food?
Me.
That's
Big
right.
Deck Barbecue.
Big Deck Barbecue. Setting up shop also.
Absolutely.
Slinging sauce, slinging rubs. Quinn's going to be there. We're giving away a Samsung Galaxy tablet. Come shake Quinn's hands. Get some free swag. We don't touch his hands, apparently. You are going to be giving away koozies, giving away some tote bags, and giving away, like I said, a Samsung Galaxy tablet.
Vibes are going to be immaculate.
Oh, they're going to be so good. Wild Rice Bar and Grill. Just stopped in there yesterday. It's that and the Harwood Bar. The Harwood Bar, our guy, Waylon, owns both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Harwood Bar is like a dive bar to my
I've frequented heart. Both, and they are...
I walked into the Harwood Bar, and I'm like, Zach would drink here.
Mm-hmm.
Zach would order a frozen pizza and have like four beers here.
Yeah, and watch like Florida State, Michigan or Absolutely. Something. That rocks.
So Wild Rice Bar doing the drinks, Big Deck Barbecue doing the food, Quinn not shaking hands.
Quinn just mean mugging everybody in the corner.
But we've got VIP tables. The VIP tables are going to be awesome. Free food from Big Deck.
Yep.
Up to 10 canned beverages.
Whoa.
10 canned beverages of your choice, and up to 6 people. And folks, because we love you, and because this is going to be such an awesome event, when you check out, use code BisonReport, all one word, use code BisonReport for 10% off your ticket order.
This rocks. I'm excited.
What in Jesus' name? I got so thrown off by my excellent transition that I've forgotten what we're talking about. Okay.
The football game on Saturday.
Right. Okay. What happened last year to make it close? And I don't want to hear that it was all Quincy's fault, because it wasn't.
No, it wasn't all Quincy's fault. I think, one, it's a horrible environment to play in. Because you had to go into that understanding that it's 4 hours of your life that you're spending in Grand Forks that you'll never get back. Two, I was surprised. They do get kind of rowdy up there. At least the students did. They were talking trash to everybody. The coaches were trying to fight people. I think they were a better team than they are this year. UND, I'm talking about.
For sure.
Yeah. And it just kind of stifled everything. It was one of those games where you were a nervous wreck the entire time, but
like that place
after the first or second quarter, I was like, this is going to be a grind them out, and we're just going to have to do that.
Kick too many field goals.
Yeah.
Red zone offense was rough. They scored their only touchdown on a trick play. Surprise, surprise. That's by the way, something that needs to be
understood will happen.
They are more BS than South Dakota State. They have more tricks.
It's because they're less talented.
Quinn, your thoughts on why last year's game was competitive, why it was close.
I think when we talked to Cordell on Benchwarmers, I think he said it was a lot. He thought that they're the same team that they were facing like a year ago at the Dome. He just thought that offensively, at least, they just made so many mistakes. He said, I can't remember. Maybe I'm taking his words out of context. I'm pretty sure if he said, like, yeah, if we play like that against SDSU, like, they would have lost by a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he said that's a game they probably should have lost, but, like, he said, like, they still dominated, won by 8 points, like, and it was basically how many mistakes can NDSU make? And that's why it was even close.
I just remember, like, an overarching sense of, like, sloppiness. I don't even remember what the tallies were for penalties and stuff like that. It was a lot of procedural stuff.
Right, and because there's games, I think 21-13 maybe is.
Yeah.
But there are games where it's that kind of score, and you're like, that was a well-played football game.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Not that day.
Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't. Yeah, that was actually kind of interesting to hear from Cordell, who, like, obviously was a captain, a senior leader, and they just, like, almost kind of took it for granted that they were playing UND.
Yeah.
And just weren't really as focused and sharp as they need to be.
Yep.
Which, like, from their perspective, they'll always say, like, of course you guys say that, whatever. But, like, you just have to beat them. It's one of these teams that I've said it so many times, but, like, when you breathe life into bad football teams by keeping them around, they'll drag you to their level and beat you with fake field goals and stuff like that. And it's just something you can't have this Saturday.
Fake looks to the sideline.
Yeah.
Quarterback sneaks from your own 19-yard line. That was still wild.
Yeah.
You got the mic real close to your mouth. You got something to say?
It looks like he's going to cut a promo.
Yeah, I'm just getting angry thinking about that.
You absolutely suck. Let me tell you something, brother.
Talk about problematic. Let's not do Hulk Hogan impressions.
Yeah.
No, I just, like, if we want to just talk about the talent thing, I think you said it a few years ago. It might have been before the 2019 game where
we're going to talk about Joe Moberg.
Where, like, I think at some point, and maybe it's changed now, I can't really think of any recruit that made that decision. Maybe there has been one since, but at least I think before the 2019 game, any player that had both a scholarship offer from NDSU and UND from the past, pretty much the Division I era, had never chose to go into UND.
Yeah, not since Joe Mulberg, who was a quarterback out of Detroit Lakes High School and ended up not really working out and ended up at tight end. And that was a guy, because I'll never forget the story of Craig Bohl calling Joe Mulberg from the midfield after beating the Gophers and still not closing him as a recruit.
That's crazy.
But
yeah,
that might be inside baseball. I don't even know who told me that story, but Craig, and I'm sure it was a flip phone because it was 2011.
Right. Yeah.
But Craig walked to midfield and said, "Joe, this is Craig Bohl at NDSU. I'm standing on the M with, you know."
That's all I would need to hear.
Yeah. Like we'd like to, he's like, "Oh, I'm going to go to the Alaris Center, win three games."
Play tight end. I mean, they just meme them. They're memes. Like the Bubba sitting at the bar and the
Monopoly being over. They made their own meme.
Yeah.
Literally.
And they call themselves the flagship. And it's just like, guys, we could tolerate you if you got out of your own way, but you don't. And this is why we are where we are.
The most annoying part about like all of it, especially when they lose as well, it's like, oh, yeah, you guys can. They say like, oh, just go win your JV national championship. Yeah. Like we'll play like actual like collegiate hockey. And it's like,
against
sure,
Quinnipiac?
But yeah. And it's like
against
it's
Omaha.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's just like, well, go look at how much people care about your national championships compared to ours. Cause I pulled up numbers earlier in the year. I think one of our lowest rate, like watch national championships was against Eastern Washington. It pulled 1.35 million viewers.
And it was double.
The last time they made it to the Natty and won it, it was 566,000 people.
Yeah. Dude, 9,000 people flew to Las Vegas, Nevada to watch them lose to Arizona State's former club team.
Yeah.
That went D1 like 25 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. In true Ralph Engelstad fashion.
No Hunter, I don't think.
Yeah.
And said he was hopeful. I don't see it happening. No Hunter, no Gindy. Quinn, how do you think they adjust offensively?
I feel like it's probably the same game plan going in. It's just going to be, we're going to run at your 280-pound nose tackle. We're going to run at your 225-pound defensive ends. And if you stop it, which you won't, then we're going to play action off of it and hit Mathis downfield for 30 yards. And then we're going to do the same thing over and over again.
I hope Hofstadt and Stoffel are ready to play football because, my God in heaven, are they going to snap?
Yep. Mr. Luke Waters.
Yeah.
Buckle your chin tight, buddy.
And I think, you know, I'd love to see 8 snaps for Finn Diggins or Streit or
somebody to just break those reps up for those
somebody.
Guys.
But I just think you're going to see a more traditional, which is fine, game plan. Like, the leak stuff for Hunter just probably isn't going to be there. There's not going to be a tight end sweep.
The downhill toss to third and short, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, people hate hearing it because, like, everyone is so upset with how traditional we get sometimes, but we don't need to run a jet sweep with a fast receiver this game. Like they're kind of built for us to run stuff like that. Like they want us to try to run outside, which like running outside isn't a problem against these guys, but like they want us to stretch as much as possible because it gives them more time to get in the backfield. But like the sooner we hit downhill against these guys, the better result is going to be.
And look, I think Cole Payton can still be a big part of the game plan. I think
I was thinking about him a lot. This should be hey, let's get him in there and give him like 6 or 7 carries downhill.
I mean, you could make the bad read on a read option. He could run over a 220-pound defensive
end. He's bigger,
Anyway,
I'm fine with that.
And I think, I still think that you can get Kobe involved in the passing game. I think you can maybe have one last dalliance with Jalen Bussey. I think you could, obviously, like I said, Cole Payton, DJ Hart can get involved in the run game. They still have non-traditional ways to get it done, but they can get it done traditionally against these guys. I think the wide receiver group is probably chomping at the bit after not being a huge part of 2 outdoor games. You can throw on these guys. CJ Siegel's a good player, but I don't love the rest of their secondary. I don't think they can tackle Tomerik. I think Kobe can run away from him. But man, Tomerik and Dom, I think that's your recipe. And how insane is that? It's just like, oh, yeah, Dom Gennell hasn't played in 3 weeks.
I forgot about Dom, and I feel bad because I really like Dom. The fact that I forgot about Dom and you just mentioned him, I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
exactly.
Dom and Tomerik are going to, like, kill kids on Saturday.
Yeah, and, like, I even think about a guy mixing in who could, like, who just had a 100-yard game but is really kind of starting to fill his role as TK Marshall.
Yeah.
And I think he's almost in between those two spots where you go Kobe for the changeup on first and second, and then, hey, we need 4 yards, put Tomerik in there. I think TK is what you think of when, like, you're our workhorse, one guy backfield. And I think this could be a really good showcase for him with Hunter being out.
Offensive line moving around. I think a lot of the the vibes around this is just, okay, this is the five. Mm-hmm. And if we lose somebody, they finally reach the breaking point. And I don't know if breaking point is the right phrasing, but, like, it's great that they were able to lose Jalen and it wasn't a huge deal. It's great that they were able to lose Mason and it wasn't a huge deal. But now you're getting into guys that haven't been part of the game plan. And Jake Brock started spring games 2 years ago.
And that's the better way to put it. It's not guys who don't have experience playing. Jake Rock knows how to play the game of football and start if he's needed. But guys that weren't in the game plan built into T-roll saying, like, hey, here's our 5, 6, 7 guys that we're going to rotate through.
Right, yeah. Westy's been the backup center all year long. He's been repping a number of games. Gray's been the ogre. Gray's been the fill-in guy. Nash gets hurt in Vermillion.
Yeah, Gray's like sixth man of the year as far as offensive line talk. Mm-hmm. So the not the worst part, because, like, Mason getting hurt is the worst part.
Yes,
and him being hurt is the worst part. But second worst part is not having, like, sixth man of the year coming off the bench anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Because now that he's in there, so
and I did talk about this, and I kind of let it leak, and I don't think he cares, or he would have said, don't say anything. But Coach basically said that Jake Rock is the new sixth man. Mm-hmm. Hunter probably is guy 7. I even called you the other day to ask about, like, interior young depth, and we just don't know. And it's not that anybody stinks. We don't know, because your interior depth was Gray and Westy. We found it.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah, and interior depth is, like, I'm not going to say it's harder than, like, the tackles, because tackles have, like, so important positions because they're always one-on-one as far as the pass pro goes.
Yes.
But that interior depth, like, you have to be, like interior depth, interior guys, like, have a little more something wrong with them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Like, they're running through guys more. Like, they're using their heads more than their hands. Like, tackles get to use their hands a lot. Interior guys, like, just look at interior guys. Like,
watch them play.
Like, Kubis, Westy, Nash. Like,
big, ugly, and stinky.
Yeah, like. Yeah.
Just like the pretty just, Cody with his long Cody couldn't step inside play center. He's too pretty.
He's gonna get so mad if he hears that.
But it's also
Cody inside.
Yeah, it's Cody. He'll be like, hey man, why'd you
he's
say
gonna
that?
Go up to Tiro and be like, I want to start right guard next playing center.
Yeah, I know. Like, I had this conversation with Rado actually. Physically, playing tackle is more demanding because you're playing against better athletes. But if you're like I was, and you had to play perfectly all three inside the two guards in the center spot, it's just a mind game. And, like, to have guys that can step in and run NDSU's offense at a high enough level that they can play all three on the inside is crazy. And it's even crazier that Gray can step outside and play tackle.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the situation is, well, I mean, I know it is because, like I said, I talked to Coach, and Rock will just be the backup at left and right tackle. And if anything happens inside, like if something happens to Nash's ankle or, God forbid, Kubis, whatever, it's just going to be Gray. And then Rock will play right tackle.
Right.
And that's kind of your depth now.
And for, like, we're not to panic button.
No.
Moment, but it's, like, kind of like, ooh. But
you lose two guys in the same game, which has happened before, you are.
Right, because even that plan, if, God forbid, something happens to somebody inside, Gray's a great replacement to fill in. Jake Rock is a good enough player to step in and play in a big game like UND or in the playoffs down the road. He proved that in the spring season. But then what happens?
The one thing I will say is, like,
and sorry to cut you off. And with all of that, like, there probably hasn't been a time in practice where Gray has played right tackle with or sorry, there probably hasn't been a time where Rock has played next to like Nash or Kubis.
Right.
Like they, like their communication has probably been not non-existent, but it's probably been since like the bye week, or it's probably been since like maybe fall camp. Because I imagine that, like I just said, like, cause the offensive line, typically during practice, like there's not a ton of guys that like, usually it's just five in, five out.
Yep.
I think during our year, it was a little bit different just cause like sometimes we'd only have like eight or nine guys down at the one field, but it's probably been a long time since Rock has taken snaps next to Kubis or Nash.
And one interesting thing, I think, or one helpful thing, because I am a psycho and I penciled the two deep for next year after finding out who was going to leave. Next year, the interior is kind of a question. I think it could be at least helpful to have Losalento because yep. He is a sixth-year guy. He was all Pioneer League. I know he probably was hopeful to start here when he got here. Mm-hmm. But if he has to play 20 snaps at like left guard, I don't think he's going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, and it's not the end of the world. My only real question mark of that is, one, because I played the position and know how hard it is to communicate, snap the football, and then go and execute your play.
Yeah.
Who's stepping in at the pivot if Westy goes down?
It's Gray.
Yeah. But again, what's Gray's experience as far as doing that recently?
Sure.
That would be the one question mark that I would have going into this game.
And that's one thing, too. I have no idea where Sundell is at. They kind of need him to, because I don't think they've announced he's out for the season.
Get it together, Jalen.
Well, yeah, I know.
Put that thing in the tub.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
But his return, whether it's at center or a different position, huge. Or whether Jalen just becomes the super sub mm-hmm. until he's 100%,
right?
It'd be huge. It'd be absolutely massive. As far as UND skill guys, I think Hoosman, who's the guy that kind of struggled to find his footing at UNI, he's really been a good thing for them. And that's, hey, if there's one, if I am making the case for UND, Hoosman breaking like 11 tackles is the case.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing, and that I need to see as a defensive focus is just tackling him, because your guy, Tommy Schuster, is kind of hit or miss on what you get from him. Tommy's like a vibes guy. Like if things are going well, Tommy's doing well. If things are going bad, Tommy starts to get in his own head, it seems like. But if you tackle Hoosman on first, second guys being there, then I feel good about that strategy going into the defensive side.
I'm assuming you're talking about their running back.
Yeah.
I don't watch UND football, so I just know that.
Great to have you on the pod.
I just know that they always suck. That's why I'm here. Seeing that guys were tackling 15 last week at SIU, that gave me confidence. Like, I think they're all right now.
That's
I think they found
point.
Their groove defensively, tackling-wise.
Because I had mentioned that Illinois State was not a great tackle-breaking team, and they did what they needed to do. And I thought tackling against Western was fine, and then the next step would have been the ability to get the SIU guys down, because they're
15 has been a nightmare the last three years.
Absolutely.
When we went there in 2019, it was just like, what's like, this guy is like, there has to be three hats on the ball on this guy.
Yeah.
And we were one-on-one tackling him quite a bit last Saturday. So like that gave me a ton of confidence. Not that it matters, but like for the rest of the year going into the playoffs, like I think they have it figured out. Like,
hey,
I think
it's almost like something that I said would be short up at the end of the season is getting short up.
Weird
how that works.
We have good coaches and guys get better throughout the year.
Weird.
No.
We're just angry today.
There's a little bit of a punch.
I gave you my energy.
I don't, and another reason I think, and I'm well aware that the actual year-long statistics probably and very possibly don't bear this out as far as their balance, they being UND pronouns. I don't know. It's very possible, I guess what I'm trying to say is that they maybe are more of a run-heavy team now.
Mm.
But I just, especially without Waletzko, I think this is finally a matchup that NDSU's defensive line will win decisively up front. And I'm not saying they've getting their butt kicked all year, but as we've talked so much about, it's so important for Jackson to get upfield. It's so important for Will to get upfield. These guys need to be penetrating because they can't just stand there in two gap for 3 seconds. This is actually a situation where their NDSU's defensive line is better than UND's offensive line. And so I think the best option for UND is going to be to throw the ball. I don't think NDSU is going to be scared. Mog has been there forever. Bellquist, that's an interesting one because the thought process has always been that NDSU took DJ Hart over Bellquist.
Yeah.
Looks better this year than it has
in
years past. But I mentioned this when Illinois State came in with Anixted and they had been beating people by throwing it all over the yard. I don't see, especially with the way Siegel's playing right now, I don't think that these guys can get open against NDSU.
Yeah, and what is terrifying for if I'm a game planner for UND is like, okay, we're probably shorted when it comes to this matchup on the offensive and defensive line. Dutenheffer is really coming into his own. Javi's having a heck of a year. Spencer Wagey is starting to play with his hair on fire again. Okay, now let's go throw it at Marquis Siegel and Courtney Eubanks. Okay, great. They're off the field. It's Destin Talbert and Jaden Price. And it's just like, where do you win and where do you – it's the lesser of two evils of how you want to lose.
UND is so not built to get down 14-0 in this game. They're not built.
Catching up if they're down by the spread.
You're exactly right. And I guess that's where we're going to kind of wrap things up here. And did you make score predictions on the bench warmers? Did the score predictions get cut off?
I don't know. They might have. I know Cordell was like 48-0. Yeah, and I don't think he's that far off.
I'm going
to
wrap
it up. I think he was like, he said like 40-20 or something.
Yeah.
I think defensively we're fine, but like we've tend to give up a little bit more points than probably we should have in games this year. Whether it's maybe a first drive or like coming out of the half. I mean, I would still, 30. I think we're 35-7 again. I'll take 35-7 again.
Zach.
I am staying closer to that median average of the 21-point win. I think 31-14 is where I'll settle.
I'm at 38-14.
Yeah.
I think offensively, NDSU is such a bad matchup for these guys. I think Cam and the receivers are really excited to let it rip after two outdoor games.
Playing a dome.
Yeah. And I just think, man, you start getting downhill and then work in all the play action power stuff, the flips to Stoffel in the flat, and then the deeper patterns to Braylon, deeper patterns to DJ. And it doesn't have to be go balls like Christian Watson go balls. It doesn't have to be those.
Yep.
But I just think that UND is really, really going to struggle, even without Lipke, even without Mason Miller. I just think they're going to get road graded, and that's why I'm at 38-14. I want to close this one up by just screw these guys.
Definitely screw these guys, but we need to find the bus driver who's taking them from, like, hotel to game and make sure they drive just – do a block, just go around the block of the performance center, the indoor facility, and say, hey guys, like, remember that like terrible looking thing you guys built like 80 years ago? Like, hey buffoons, like this is what a real indoor facility looks like.
80 yard field with rounded corners.
Yeah. And I'll explain why. And this is the ultimate, this is the take, I think. As much junk as we talk about the type of person that we think Stig is, or that South Dakota State plays dirty, or any of the jokes about South Dakota State choking in the playoffs, all these things true, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a respect there based on a real rivalry where South Dakota State has taken something from North Dakota State, and a respect earned by the fact that we did this Division I thing together with SDSU. I still don't like them.
Yeah.
But there is a respect, I think, earned by the fact that we were in this together. We've both risen to the top of the subdivision. I would say for the last 5 years, I know SDSU hasn't done anything on the national level, but for the last 5 years, I think the two best programs in the subdivision are North Dakota State and South Dakota State.
Yeah.
That's impressive considering where we were in 2004. But we did that together with South Dakota State. Don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But that was done together.
It's a mutual respect.
There's a mutual respect. There's no respect for UND.
No.
None.
Because respect is earned.
Respect is earned.
Like, speaking completely as a fan right now, like, going into SDSU games, a mindset is like, oh, God, like, I really don't want to lose to these guys. Because, like, they've beaten us.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a thought now. Like, yeah. Oh, they can actually beat us. Going into this UND game, it's like, who cares? Like, these guys just stink.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, like, they will just never beat us.
I think the most annoying part with it is obviously being a child going through, as we went through our transition into Division One, was the constant goalpost moving and, like, the classic from the bunker video made by our friend Tony Ambrose, I believe, where UND fans are literally being portrayed as Nazis. Check that out if you haven't. I'll tweet that out again. It's that time of the year. But, like, they thought this was going to dissolve NDSU, like the university itself, us moving to Division One, and it just proves the mentality that is there in Fargo versus what is in Grand Forks. It was the best thing NDSU's ever did, and we're only on to brighter pastures after this point, and who knows where UND sits and simmers and stays in their level of mediocrity forever.
You can keep your racist talk here, you know.
Oh, we want to thank Quinn Hollow and Zach Willis for providing content for you fine people. We want to thank our sponsors, Tundra Insurance, though I'm not sure we need to be involved in this one, and Gateway Chevrolet. Want to thank all you fine people for listening. Have a phenomenal weekend, and go Bison.